Each year on this day, on the Baptism of Christ Sunday, we celebrate this. We return to this scripture and the scripture in Mark, or Luke, and talk about the baptism of Christ. And just as Paul explained in the book of Acts, the baptism of Christ, the baptism that was being performed by John the Baptist, was a time of preparation. We may wonder sometimes why the people came out in throngs, came out in great multitudes to be baptized by this very strange man in the wilderness. When we say it's in the wilderness, it wasn't so very far from Jerusalem. It was on the banks of the Jordan, which came not far from Jerusalem. But the wilderness started very quickly. I think those of us who live around here can appreciate this more. Some of you lived in New Jersey and other places where it seems you have to go for 50 miles to find anything that you might call wilderness. But around here, once you get out of town, just a very short distance, things change very rapidly. And civilization seems to be getting less and less apparent as you get out farther from town. Although, if you're flying over the eastern United States anymore, it's very difficult to see any wilderness. It seems that it's being built up from all along the coastline from Florida to Maine. But it wasn't such a long distance from Jerusalem, considered the wilderness at that time. And when you lived in a country, in a part of the world where, even as it is today in Jerusalem, you get very far out of the mainstream in Israel and your life may be in jeopardy because everybody hates you. So the wilderness isn't so far even today in that part of the world. But this baptism that John was doing, as Paul described, was a baptism of repentance, a baptism of preparation for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of Christ. The people of Israel had not had a prophet since Micah. Over 100 years, they had not had a prophet sent by God. And here was this man, and of course we know the rest of the story. We know that he was, because of Scripture, we know that he was the son of Zechariah, that he was, and his barren wife Elizabeth, the cousin or a relative of Mary, who was predicted by the angels to be born even at their very old age. And they were instructed before John's birth that he was to be raised in a very special way, without sin, without sinning, and without, even though he was not without sin, but he was being supposed to be raised in a very special, nurturing way, never allowing alcohol to touch his lips, never being defiled by any earthly means, in preparation for this role. And he's described as wearing a cloak of camel hair, being with a leather belt. Now, we kind of visualize this as wearing a nice fur coat and everything with a tanned camel skin underneath and all that, but that's not really what the prophets wore. That wasn't what the prophets before him wore, and it wasn't what he wore. It was likely a cloak woven out of coarse camel hair. And so, I don't know, have any of you ever been around mohair upholstery? In some of the old cars, have you ever been around the cars from the 30s and 20s, they had mohair upholstery. It was very durable. It was very tough. It would last forever, and it really itched. It really was rough and relatively uncomfortable. Okay, well, this was what this stuff was. This was camel hair. And he ate locusts and honey. And locusts, you know, sounds pretty bad to us today, but it wasn't an uncommon food if it was plentiful in that day. And they were living, after all, in what God had promised as a land of milk and honey. But John preached a message of repentance and preparation. Prepare, because the Lord is coming. And behold, while he was preaching, while he was baptizing, the Lord came. And you know the story. Jesus asked to be baptized by John, and John said, no, I should be baptized by you. But Jesus said, no, this has to happen to fulfill righteousness. And so Jesus baptized him. And when he did, heaven appeared to open up. And a dove came and lighted on his shoulder. And God spoke from the heavens and said, this is my son with whom I am well pleased. Now some teach that this is when the Holy Spirit descended upon Christ. I don't understand that to be true. Some preach that Jesus was fully God at this point, but the fully human Jesus had not received the Holy Spirit, and this was when the Holy Spirit descended upon the fully human Jesus. I also don't understand that to be true. It doesn't say that. We know that Jesus was born with the Spirit because prior to this time, Jesus had gone to the temple when he was 12 and spent time there with the scholars, even teaching the scholars, which he could not have done without training except were it through the Holy Spirit. So we know that Jesus was fully engulfed in the Holy Spirit from birth. But this baptism was not done for Jesus. This baptism of Jesus was done for you and for me to see, to read of, to understand. This baptism was done because Jesus wanted us to understand that he was humbling himself and had become a man to save us from our sin, to take upon himself the weight of our sin and all the sins in the world. How is your baptism doing? We are baptized either as an infant, as I explained to the children earlier, with our parents and the church coming in a covenant relationship with us and with God to raise us in the ways of the Lord, to teach us. As adults, we come and confess our sins and profess our belief in Jesus Christ publicly, and we are baptized as adults. Jesus Christ talked about this to Nicodemus. If you remember the Jewish leader, the Pharisee, who sat upon the Sanhedrin, the ruling board of the Jews, came to him in the night and said, how can I come to the kingdom? And Jesus told him, you must be born again. And being born again is the same thing. It's the repentance. It's the turning around. It's the new birth. So baptism is a new birth. Baptism is us making a complete change and becoming different people. Why would Jesus have us be born again if we would be born again into what we were before? Why would he say we need to be born again only to become what we were before we were born again? That makes no sense at all. Jesus called us to be born again to change. Called us to be born again to be different. Called us to be born again to be something that we could not ever, ever be without him. Without the Holy Spirit. Without his love. How is your baptism doing? How is the change doing? Change is hard. I know I have a very hard time giving up my bad habits. I have a very time, you know, with this and everything and thinking, you know, every time I think I've got it down and I've resolved that issue, it crops up again. Change is very, very hard. Being born again, for some people, is instant. They tell you their life turned around, it's never been the same, it's day and night, click, it's just different. For me, and for many of you, it may be a process. I think for most people, change is a process. Yes, receiving Jesus Christ in your life is a day and night difference. It is a very different thing. But being born again calls us to be a different person. Not the same person. Once we've committed our lives to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's changing influence on us is not just a possibility, but it is a certainty. The Holy Spirit never leaves work undone. Yeah, we still have all these human problems. We still have all these struggles. Being born again doesn't mean that our lives become easy or even pleasant all the time. But it does mean that I have hope, that I'm not alone. It does mean that you have something to look forward to. Today, being able to depend on the Lord seems a little less certain for some. Most of us were raised in a world where people took a job and had the expectation of working in that job for the rest of their lives, working lives, and then they would retire and they would go on. But for many people today, that is not the reality. The loyalty that your employer used to have to you is gone. The loyalty that you used to have to your employer is gone. The certainty that a person starting a job, as long as they don't mess up, of retiring with a pension is gone. Christ is here. Christ is not gone. Jesus is still in our lives, still working in our lives, using our lives, changing our lives. The God who raised Jesus from the dead, the God who sent Jesus to die for us, loves you and has called upon you to be born again, has called upon you to be baptized. Paul ran across these disciples who were preaching about God, obviously sharing the good news. That's how he knew they were disciples, that they were sharing the good news of God, but he perceived that something was wrong. Something was different about them. And after questioning them, he found that they did not know Jesus Christ. They weren't disciples of Christ. They were disciples of John the Baptist. They had been baptized by John and been taught under John, but they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. They didn't know about Jesus Christ coming into their lives through the Holy Spirit. And so Paul taught them. The story that I read earlier left out a lot of details. It didn't, you know, surely Paul didn't just say, okay, now be baptized in Jesus Christ. And they said, yes, sure. That didn't happen. Paul taught them. Paul preached to them. Paul gave them the good news. And then they were baptized in Jesus Christ in joy. And they received the Holy Spirit. The baptism is not a magical event. It's not a mystical event. And we don't automatically receive the Holy Spirit at the moment that we are baptized. In fact, our understanding is that we will not even be baptized unless we have received the Holy Spirit already. It is a time that we confess our sins and put sin aside and profess our faith and our acceptance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Most of us never give a thought to our baptism again. Truth be known, most of us never think at all about the fact that we have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Most of us are like the lepers that were cleansed by Jesus Christ. And once they were cleansed, they went off and never to return. And only one of them returned to give him thanks. Most of us are happy to be saved, but our thoughts do not return to this event very often. Yeah, maybe when we see somebody being baptized, or we think about somebody in our family being baptized, or the need for them to be baptized. Or maybe in those times of trouble and strength when we think about reaffirming our vows to God and our faith. But most of the time, nothing causes us to draw our thoughts back to our baptism. That's just the way we are, me included. But our baptism is a time when we have stood up in public, and either us or our parents on our behalf, and confessed our sins and promised to follow Jesus Christ in our lives, we have in fact declared that we have been born again. It is up to us to make sure that that person who has been born again is entirely different from the person who entered into that rebirth, who entered into that relationship, that covenant relationship with God. It is imperative upon us not only to be different, but to make a difference. To not go through this world not making waves, but to cause a great commotion through our profession of faith. To be born again. I may have told you before, but the founder of the Methodist Church, Wesley, was preaching a series of sermons, and he was doing a revival service every night for a week. And about the fourth night, his deacons called him aside and said, "Reverend Wesley, we have to talk to you." He said, "You're giving the same message every night. You're up there all night long saying you must be born again over and over again. What is with this? Can't you preach more than this? You just keep saying you must be born again." And he sat and thought for a moment and he said, "But they must be born again." He could think of no more important message to bring to the people. The danger is that we think about our baptism as a ritual, as a church service, as a church ceremony. But it is not. It is a Jesus-prescribed event. Jesus said to go and make disciples to all the earth and baptize them in my name. You were not baptized in your name. It was not a christening giving you a God name. It was a profession of faith, a confession of sins, and a vow to be born again, to turn around, to change, to be different. And that is what we are called to do. We're called to be different and to make a difference in this world. Amen.